Amen. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and then I'm going to kind of rearrange my notes a little bit tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, and then 1 Peter chapter 2. That's kind of a reversal. 2 Peter 1, 1 Peter 2. Yes, Tammy? Sure thing. Oh, wow. He's her son is a Marine, was out in the Philippines. That you're telling me they just sent him out to Iraq?
Yeah, well, there's another ISIS group that's in the Philippines right now. So they've just turned their boat around and sent them back there.
Listen, we are facing evil in this country and in this world. And not just physical evil either. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And I said before we prayed, pray for pastors that they'll stand up and tell the truth. There is a sodomite mayor of Houston, Texas, that passed a bill that said that no public restroom, no public place in the city of Houston could discriminate against anybody going into whatever bathroom they wanted to. Listen, that's a setup for rape if I ever heard it. Okay, but see, she's a militant sodomite. So she passed that bill. The people of Houston made a petition to have it thrown out. They needed so many people to sign it. They got three times as much of that, and the petition was certified, which means it has to be put on the ballot. And she and her cronies there in the office of the mayor are refusing to put that on the ballot. And now she is using the courts to subpoena pastors' sermons in Houston to find out whether they've been speaking out against her. And I dealt with this yesterday on Pastor Mike Online, and I said, shoot, you don't need a subpoena to get my sermons. Okay? And I've got nothing to hide from what I believe and what I stand for and what I'm going to say. And if you just want my sermons, they're free downloads. They got them all over the internet. You just pick whichever one you want and listen to it. And I know what's in their heart. They're just upset that she's using the government to try to control them and keep them from saying certain things. And I just hope those guys get mad enough to say, you want sermons? We'll give you all the sermons you can handle. Okay? We got a bunch of them. So anyway, just pray that God will make some preachers stand up and tell the truth. And be willing to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and stand for the truth. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1. And then I'm going to, because we've been talking there in the office, we've been talking about the King James. And I appreciate his stand. But it's an issue that he, in his area of fellowship, he's lost fellowship because men decided not to stick with the Word of God anymore. Same thing with me, same thing with a lot of good guys I know. We've just lost friends, we've lost pastors, we've lost fellowship over this issue. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And we're going to deal with the calling and the election of the saints. And that you are responsible for making sure that you know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. But as a part of that study, I've got it in my notes, and I'm just going to go ahead and jump to it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I want you to understand a little bit about the election. We found out last Wednesday night that really one of the first places in the Bible where God talks about his elect is in Isaiah. And it's a reference to Christ, and there's several things there that are applicable to Christ, but also apply to us as well, that if we are the elect of God, if God has chosen us, in a certain way we ought to be, and certain things ought to be manifested in our life. And the same issue is here in 1 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says, let's read it in verse 2. There's a whole group of verses here that are clumped together. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If you're not being given the Word of God as a new Christian, you will not grow. Amen? You cannot give water to a newborn baby. They will not thrive on that. In fact, they'll die. And so it must be the sincere milk of the Word of God. If so be, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. How many of you tasted that God's good to you? Say amen. First, God forgave your sins. That ought to be tasting enough. You don't, anyway. To whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He's going to make the connection here between the stone that the builders rejected, which is Jesus Christ, the church, which is lively stones, and the Word of God. They're all connected together. I believe Christ is the Word of God. Hey, can I hear you say amen? He is the Word of God. When you reject Christ, you are rejecting His Word, and it goes the other way. When you reject the Word of God, you are rejecting Jesus Christ. You're saying, I don't want that Jesus. I want some other Jesus that is identified in a different way. And here's this right here is the stone that the 21st century church builders are rejecting. They're building their churches on worship services, light shows, fog machines, rock and roll. I'll get him stirred up here in a minute. He's liable to shout, you just never know, okay? They're building churches out of everything else except the stone that they should be building it on. And if they'll build it on here, it'll never fall. It'll never fall because it's a sure foundation. But they have rejected this book. So he says, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God is precious. Ye also, as lively stones. He connected it. God's people, we are Christ-like. We are in Christ. He is in us. His words are in us. Therefore, we are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. We are the temple of the living God. Christ dwells in us. He does not dwell in houses made with hands. And y'all know what I think about this building. I love this building. Didn't want to lose it. I've been here since I was 8 years old. I don't want to be anywhere else. But if it burnt down tomorrow, we're still the house of the living God. We still have it. And a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, and then there's that word, elect. Christ is the one that is the elect of God, and we are elected with Him. God chose us, and the world will reject us. If you decide that you're going to stand for this book, he and I have talked a little bit. We have already been rejected by the world because of what we stand for. The Houston mayor will be sending for our sermons, wanting to know if we've criticized her and her live-in, I don't know if you call a lesbian couple that's married, husband and wife, or wife and... I don't get it. Those two, if they want to know I've been criticizing them, yes, I have. And they'll reject that. But when the world rejects you, know that Christ has elected you. You've got to decide whose side you're going to be on, whose side you're going to stay on. Okay, but he's elect and he's precious. My Bible's precious to me. My Bible kept me alive. My Bible keeps me going. My Bible, I'll do this every now and then. I'll take it and I'll pick it up and I'll hold it, hug it. You think that's silly? I don't. God designed us to want to hold something precious to us. My wife is precious to me. I hold her, okay? And so our Bible is precious, and we hold on to it. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That means you will not be in the confusion that this world's going to be in. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient. Now, the Bible is identifying for you those who do not like the Word of God. They're disobedient. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. That's the foundation stone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And here we are. We were talking again in the office. These guys, Brother George, that walk away from the King James, these pastors we know, it doesn't take too long before when you bring up the King James issue, they're offended. They don't want you bringing it up. And they're gonna. I know how they talk when they're not around you, because I used to be in with them. And I used to hate the King James only people. Used to hate them and laugh at them and mock them and scorn them. And God made me one of them. But I know how they talk. Okay? They are, the King James is an offense to them. I got called, was supposed to go to this big prophecy conference in Dallas, Texas. And I got called before we went down there by one of the leaders of it, wanting to know. And they said, now, don't get me wrong, we love the King James. It always starts out like that. And what they were asking me to do was they wanted to make sure I was going to tone it down on the King James issue when I went out there. And I said, look, I said, I've already told you what I'm going to be speaking on. I said, I'm going to stick to my topics. But I'm telling you, as a natural part of what I've got as the topic, I can send you my notes. I'm going to say King and James in the same sentence when I get out there. If that's going to be a problem for you, you just send me the money for my plane ticket and we'll call it quits. I won't come out. I don't want to come out there and start a fight for you. It's your show. It's your money. It's your call. But don't call me and tell me not to say anything, because I won't do it. Okay? And they were offended at that. They've had, I don't know, 3 conferences since then. I haven't been back to one of them. Okay? A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And so here is the issue of election. God is, when God chooses you, like Christ, when Christ came to this earth, Hebrews 10 records his words. He said, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Jesus said, I'm going to do this by the book. I'm going to follow the word. And he did. He did it once. He's going to come back and do it again. He's going to fulfill the word of God. When God elects people, he elects them to obedience to his word and following his word and believing that his word is precious. And elect people don't throw away the Bible looking for religion. They don't. They don't throw the word of God away. They hang on to it. They hold to it. It's precious to them. And that's just some of the issues that we're dealing with in the ministry, some of the issues that we deal with in denominations that people have belonged to and so on. And it's affecting every denomination and every group of Christian, every group or breed of Christianity that there is in America. But anyway, let's get back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So if we were to throw this into the pile, number one, how do I know that I'm saved, that God has called me, God is not sorry that he's called me, and that I am the elect of God and I will inherit eternal life? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? That is part of the election process. God has chosen you based on his foreknowledge. But when you are the elect of God, God puts his spirit in you, and you believe every word of God is pure. You believe every word of God is pure and that he preserved it. And it's right for us in these days. Let me run through some verses here on the calling of God. If I were to ask you tonight, give me a verse just kind of pops in your head about God's calling or God calling people. Is there a verse that just kind of jumps in your head tonight that you could say is relevant to God calling us to be saints or God calling us to be his elect or his Christians? Anybody? His gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Hey, I thought I had that in my notes, but I didn't. I'm glad you brought that up. It's a good one. Somebody else? Yeah, that's the one we're talking about. Okay, anyway, that's good. We'll take it. How about this one? Matthew 20, verse 16. So the last shall be first and the first be last. For many be called, but few chosen. God, the gospel's going out to everybody that we can find. The gospel's being preached. Bible tracts being handed out. People are seeing verses on Facebook that they're skipping over. But the thing is, the word is being sown into people's lives. But the sad truth of it is, most people will reject it just like that without even trying to see whether it's right or not. Many are called, but few are chosen. Romans 11, verse 20. You know what? I did have that in here, Brother George. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And God just dealt with me one day, and I was preaching to some preachers out in Oklahoma one time, and God had dealt with me about this issue. Since I've been saved, I've done a few things that have been wrong. Since I've been in the ministry, I've done some things that are wrong. And I've just beat myself up over it and said, God, I'd you just throw me out and get rid of me and just you have no use for me whatsoever. And God reminded me, Mike, I knew what kind of sorry, low-down, filthy, rotten, hell-deserving, sinner, scumbag you were when I called you to preach. When I called you to salvation, I knew who you were. But I guess God figured that he could work with me and that he could do something through me and to me. And so God calls whom he foreknows, the Bible says. He knows you. He knew you from before the foundation of the earth. Some of the stupid things that you've done in life, God didn't go, whoa! Oh, man, I didn't see that coming. Well, that kind of changes things. I don't know if I'm going to have you. I don't know if Jesus died for you or not. He never said that. That's not him. He knew it. He knew you. He knew what kind of person you were. He knew that you needed a Savior. He knew that you were a sinner. Of course you're a sinner. Christ died for you. And when God calls his people, he's not sorry that he did. Let's keep that in mind, all right? You might be sorry for what you did, but God's not sorry he called you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Look in this room. Look at the doctors that are in this room. Look at the lawyers that are sitting here tonight. The politicians from Jefferson City. The senators from Washington, D.C. How many Fortune 500 companies are represented here in this congregation tonight? Say, well, I shop at Walmart. Does that count? God didn't call the smart people. Now, don't be offended at that. Because God said he'll use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He'll use the weak things. While there are some people who love to brag about how good they are and how strong they are, the truth of it is God chooses the weak to bring down those things that are strong. God doesn't call the mighty ones. Some people would say, well, boy, it'd be neat if maybe some Hollywood actor would get saved and, boy, they could really preach the gospel. I've never seen it work. You remember Kurt Warner? Remember Kurt Warner? 1999, he's all Jesus this and Jesus that, and he wins the Super Bowl. And he stayed around here for quarterback for a few years after that. Hardly ever said a word. In fact, his wife got him in more trouble with her mouth than he ever thought of. And you just don't hear a lot anymore. I'm not judging his Christianity. I'm not judging his faith. I'm just saying, just because there's some big hotshot somewhere, that doesn't mean that if God saves them, they're going to be a better witness for him than anybody else. That's not how God works. He's not saving the corporate heads. He's not saving the politicians. He's not saving all of the people of high status and wisdom. He's saving the people that are working in the mud all day long. He's saving the people that are getting their hands dirty. He's saving the people that are farmers. He's saving the people that didn't get all the education that everybody else did. What was it they had said about Jesus? They were marveled that he knew letters. They marveled that he knew letters. They said and what they say about his disciples? They were ignorant and unlearned men. They had not sat in the schools and learned all this philosophy stuff that all these other guys had learned. But they perceived that they had been with Jesus, and they knew that these guys had something that was way beyond all of the book learning that life had offered. Don't you ever be ashamed of not having much to work with in this world, because I suspect that the less you've got, the more God is able to do in your life for you. That way he gets the glory and you don't. Can I hear somebody say amen? Not many mighty, not many noble are called. That's one of the signs right there. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. If you believe that you have been called, then abide in that calling. Live in that calling. Let that calling be your life. I went to school with a lot of guys that believed they had been called to ministry. It's not really my place to judge them. But most of the guys that I went to school with are not in the ministry right now. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe they were called and maybe they weren't. I don't know. But if God calls you in something, you abide in that calling. You stay in that calling. You live in that calling. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. If God has called you and you find that it's a rough way to go, hang on. There's a hope at the end of it. There's a payday coming. There is an inheritance that is going to be given to you at the end, that once you receive it, you will not say, "Boy, I'm sorry I hung around for this." Amen? You will be glad that you lived in and abided in that calling, and you found out what the hope of that calling is. And you and I, we live by hope. The Bible says that God made us subject to vanity. You know what vanity is? Vanity is your car breaks down on the most important day of your life trying to get somewhere. That's vanity. Vanity is on the day they're going to take your picture, you've got a big old pimple right here. Okay? Or it's the worst hair day in the world, or whatever it is. It breaks down, it doesn't work, it doesn't last. That's vanity. Vanity of this world is that things just pass away before we're ready for them to do. Okay? But God gives us hope, and we have to live by hope. He said He made us subject to vanity so that the same could be subjected unto hope. God's going to force us to look ahead and see what's coming down the road and wait for it. That's what God's calling us for. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I got to tell this story. I don't know if I said anything about it Sunday, but I tell you what, I give up on sports teams pretty quickly. I give up on the Cardinals the other night when the game was tied, top of the ninth inning. I thought, I'm not even going to tie myself up in this. I get up the next morning, they had a walk-off home run, and I missed it. And I've done that a lot of times. Caleb's out there playing Saturday in his team, and they're playing a pretty evenly matched team. The first half, nobody scored any touchdowns. Second half comes around, Caleb's team runs down, scores 6 points. The other team, right after that, runs down, scores 8 points. They did a 2-point conversion. And it stays that way, and it looks like that we're going to get beat 8-6, because we're in the fourth quarter, there's a minute left, and the other team has the ball, and all they got to do is waste a minute. So they run one play, run about 15 yards down the field, and stop. They run another play, they threw the ball, guy picks it up, takes off with it, drops the ball, fumbled the ball. Caleb's team recovered the fumble, and there's 30 seconds left on the clock. And I'm going, I don't think they'll do it. And they run a play and run the ball down about 10 yards, first down. And now there's about 15, 12 seconds left on the clock. And they run another play. 7 seconds left on the clock. Their quarterback, on a quarterback keep, ran into the end zone for a touchdown. And we beat that team! 7 seconds left on the field. And we won the game. You know why? And you know what the coach said? He sends text out every week. He said, "I'm proud of our boys. They didn't quit." They didn't. I quit. I give up. But they didn't quit. And I'm telling you, there's a prize if you don't quit. Don't quit, people. Don't give up, all right? And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. They've already tipped their hand down there in Houston. They've already shown the kind of power and influence that they're going to begin to exercise over those who will stand for this book. They've already started to show that in this country. What a shame that is. It's going to get worse. Don't quit. Don't give up. That's your calling. He called you to not quit. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what I think about Paul? Paul knew sports. This right here, the mark for the prize of the high calling, he presses toward the mark. That's a race. He's running a race and he intends to finish the race. You know what the interesting thing about God's race is? Doesn't matter who's first. In fact, you've already lost out on first. Christ crossed the finish line long before you did. Amen? So it doesn't matter who's first. These people, Dave Bradley will tell you, these people that run these marathons, there's only one guy that's going to win that race, and it's usually some skinny guy from Kenya or Ethiopia that wins that race. And 3,000 other people are running for one reason. To finish it. They know they're not going to come in first. But they'll have joy and personal satisfaction that they didn't give up. In spite of the pain, in spite of the hardship, they kept going. And that's exactly what he's getting at here. So what if you're not first? Finish it. Finish it. There's satisfaction in that. God designed us that way. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. And fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. God, if He elected you, He obviously thought that you were worthy of the election and the calling. In spite of what you think of yourself, you didn't think you was good enough. You didn't think you would be worthy. You didn't think that you were worth anything. But God picked you and He called you because He knows something different about you than what you know. He knows the future. He knows how it ends. And He knows that you're going to finish. And you're the one He called. You're the one He elected. And that's what He said here. He said that our God would count you worthy of this calling. We pray for you that you'd understand that if God called you, God had a good reason for it. And you know what? You hear me talk about how I think it's healthy for a good Bible-believing Christian to realize just how rotten and worthless they really are in the flesh. In the flesh. But your soul is what God's after to begin with, not your flesh. So He's going to peel your flesh off one of these days. He's going to circumcise it off and cast it away. And God's going to reach in there and get your soul and redeem that and give it a new body. Oh, somebody say amen to that. Because they always say, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. And I would say there's an error of that that's true. Don't look at us on the outside, because on the outside we're pretty rough. On the outside, we're bearing scars and baggage of life spent in sin. But on the inside, there's been something inside of us all this time that's wanted something better. Wanted something that was everlasting. And God saw that. And He said, that's what's worthy of it. You pray. Or I'll pray that you find that out. You find out the worth of your calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now I do believe that when God calls us, He calls us to holiness. Amen? God don't like keep us in the hog pen, in the slop. He found us in a pit. He has no intention of keeping us there. He takes us. Go back and read, Ezekiel 16. When He found Jerusalem, she was laying in her own filth. He described her as a newborn baby that had not been swaddled, had not been clean. Her cord had not even been cut. She was just laying there rejected. And God picked her up, and He cut her cord, and He swaddled her, and He cleaned her up. And then as she grew, He began to adorn her and make her beautiful. Okay? And when God found us, that's the first thing that God does. In fact, the primary work in our life is God calling us with a holy calling and making us clean people. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. I know from experience, one of the worst things that you can do is do something that you think will bring God favor, and it's not God's will. You don't want to do that. It's a waste of time, makes God mad, and He won't bless it. So what you do then is that you look for God's will and God's purpose and God's calling in your life according to His purpose and His grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, here we go, before the world began. God knew that you would be sitting here tonight in this church service listening. God knew that. And say, well, what if I didn't show up? God knew that. See how simple that is? You're not going to outsmart God and His foreknowledge of everything that happens in this world. You're not going to run out of God's knowledge. He knows it. He called you by Christ Jesus into His holy calling for His purpose and His grace. And that was, He'd figured that out long before the world ever was. In Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible says, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So we find out it's a holy calling. It's a hopeful calling. It's a worthy calling. Boy, I forgot to just throw all these in here, but it's a heavenly calling. He called us not really so much to fulfill the things of this world, but He called us to fulfill the things of heaven. What did Jesus pray when they asked Him to teach us how to pray? Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God called you from above. Now, let me get into, just in the time we have left tonight, let me get into the election a little bit. We had mentioned the passage out of Isaiah where we were talking about Jesus being the elect of God. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4, the Bible says, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name, and I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. So what does this mean? It means that God had already called you and put an election on you even before you knew Christ. The day that you got saved was no mystery to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that at that time and that place you were going to receive that calling. But even before you knew that, God knew it. And God had already called you. He had already elected you by His foreknowledge. Isaiah 65 verse 9, I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. That kind of goes along with, let's see here, what we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 1:18, the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. When God elects you, He's electing you to the inheritance. And here's something to understand. The inheritance is given to a child. It's given to a son. If you are elect according to God's blessing, according to God's plan, you are a son of God. We don't quite understand how we will appear as sons of God, because we do not yet appear as sons of God. But He has already titled us as sons of God. Therefore, we are the inheritors of, or we are the recipients of the inheritance. An inheritance is given by way of birth and not works. Not works. You're not earning heaven. You're not working. I was listening to some guy today. I never heard of him before. He's boasting that he communicates all the time with angels. And the talk show he was on, the talk show guy is saying, are there angels in here? And he says, oh yeah, it's right there. There's angels in this room. And he said, I see them all the time. Anyway, I wanted to listen to him to just kind of hear where he's coming from. And I suspected it. And sure enough, he's talking about if you fast and if you pray and if you do these things and if you perform these things and if you try this and if you do this, then God is going to give you this. But if you don't, and the way he talked about it, he said, if you just kind of skip out on it, the blessings will just walk right by you and you'll never be around them because you didn't do the right thing. That's labor. And I'm not saying the only thing, but one of the most prominent things I find in the Bible about wages, I don't want. I've already earned wages in this world of sin. And I don't want what I got coming. I don't want what I get. I don't want what I deserve. But I will receive an inheritance based upon the fact that God is my Father and He gives those things freely to His Son. Jesus Christ is the inheritor. But if we are in Christ, the Bible says that Christ gives us of these things freely. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If you are the called, if you are the elect, you receive the inheritance. God's blessing, God's everlasting blessing. The promised land that He's going to have one of these days. I'm looking forward to that, amen. But it's not by works, it's by faith. Matthew chapter 24, in fact, turn to Matthew chapter 24 very quickly and we'll close out with this. And here's something, I say this not as something that you will boast about and be puffed up about. And I don't know how guys do this, brother Troy. I've known guys, you probably do too. Every blessing of God to them is a boast. Look what I've got. Look what I get. Look at what I receive. I cannot fail. I cannot fall. I cannot be wrong. The reason why I'm saying that is in Matthew chapter 24, there's a promise here to God's elect that He would not allow them to be deceived. Look at it. Matthew 24, 24, there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know what it's saying here? These false signs and false wonders are going to be so wondrous that everybody is going to be deceived by them except the elect. And when it says very elect, that's not like a grade of elect. Okay? The very elect, the word very means truly. The truly elect. Not the ones that are elected better than everybody else. There is no such thing. You either elect or you're not. Period. But it means the truly elect. Insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Mark 13:22 says it this way, for false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So here's two witnesses. You know what's telling me? If God elected you, He will not let you be deceived. That'd be a study. I think of, boy, somebody remind me to do this. The number of times we're told in our Bible, be not deceived, be not deceived, be not deceived. It's all through the Scriptures. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come falling away first. Don't be deceived. And see, here's the thing. Those who are truly called and the elect, they believe the book. And, I mean, I've told my testimony at one time, I got pulled away. I was talking to sharing about Brother Brent there in my office. He was just like me. The influence of the guys around us, it's so easy. These guys are just getting pulled away over these false Bibles. And it starts out, well, we use the New King James. That's pretty close. It's not it. That's stage one. And then before too long, you're accepting things that are nowhere to be found anywhere in the Scriptures, but you're accepting them as true, and you're being deceived. The question is that an everlasting deception? Because at one time I was deceived. At one time Paul admitted in Romans 7, sin deceived me, and sin is a liar. You watch out for your sins. You watch out for your lifestyle. Because sin deceives people. And I'm going to say this again. This is not for us to boast. Well, I'm the elect. I cannot be deceived. Don't ever say it like that. You get down on your face before God and say, God, if You called me, don't let me be deceived. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. And God will hear that prayer and God will honor that prayer. And by the way, you'll be a blessing to other people who are as afraid as you are sometimes that they're going to believe something that ain't true. We get people that call us and write us all every week saying, Pastor, we've been watching you. And we're going to be honest. We've been watching you for a long time, haven't said anything, because we've been very cautious, because we were in this movement and we figured out they were lying through their teeth, and we were out over here, and then we followed the Hebrew roots, and then we were doing the Rick Warren thing, and then we were the Joel's Army, and we've been every group in the world, and we've been lied to and deceived, and we found out that they were not according to the Word of God. We've been watching you, and we're just trying to make sure that you're going to stick with this book, because we're tired of being lied to. God bless those people. You're doing the right thing. Don't just take my word for it. Just get on your face before God and say, God, this is your word. You said there's no mistakes in it. I'm going to have to believe that. And God, don't let me be deceived. If you called me, don't let me be lied to. Because I've had it done before. Say, amen. That's not a boast. That'll bring you to humility. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. It's good to have you with us.